Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 45. That's right, 45 episodes of Utopia to Me. With me, your host, Chris Locke. How's it going? It's a good morning for me to do these intros. It's bright and sunny out, and, you know, I can hear that guy clipping his lawn. You know those things? You know those things? Not the lawnmower, but the little clipper. Hedge trimmer. I don't know what it's called. Listen, this is a great episode. I talked about the weather already. Isn't that nice? But also, the interview is with Glenn McCauley. My guest is Glenn McCauley, super funny sketch comedian and writer here in Toronto, Canada. Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And the weather when we did it was last night, and it was a little dreary, a dreary August evening. And I was drinking a matcha green tea. And he was drinking a tall can of Molson Canadian. And we had drinks and then enjoyed chatting with each other. And you guys are going to love this episode. I just wanted to give that little context for you. Dreary outside, okay, August evening, Bernadette was on the couch lying on Glenn, tall can of Molson Canadian, me with my matcha green tea. And you can't hear it. You can't see it, but I just really pronounced that with my mouth. Picture my mouth really opening and pronouncing it really perfectly. Matcha green tea. Matcha green tea. And we had a really good time. I'm going to get right to it because it's a little bit of a long one because we were hyper and we digressed a lot and had so much fun talking about everything. There's a lot of movie chat here, a lot of film chat, a lot of chat about world building, Glenn's world. Which is, I won't give it away. Anyways, we're going to just dive right into that. But make yourself a cup of matcha green tea and get a friend with a tall can of Molson Canadian beer to just sit beside you and listen to this with them and then have a good time. And you know what? Maybe someday in the future, take that friend out on a tandem bike throughout the beautiful sunny wilderness and just look at a squirrel. Okay, here we go. This is Glenn McCauley. Enjoy. Hello?
Hello.
Open the pod doors, Hal. Oh, thanks, Hal.
You're welcome.
That's not how he talks.
I don't know. I've never seen that movie.
But you know what? 2001 Space Odyssey?
Mm-hmm.
I just rewatched it, and it's like I was so bored of it when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably heard that, right?
Well, that's why I've never seen it, because everyone I respect tells me to skip it.
Everyone you respect? Like who? Like the president?
No, just my friends. I respect my friends.
Imagine the president of the United States was like, 2001, A Space Odyssey is boring.
It is not worth watching. Read about it instead? I don't know.
Just read the trivia on IMDb.
Search the GIFs on Google.
On Google.
Well, like, who doesn't know what that is now, though? You know what I mean? That's one of those movies you've seen even if you haven't seen it. Am I wrong?
But here's the thing. I really enjoyed it now as an adult man.
What's its running time?
220, maybe?
Ooh.
Here's the two things I get now as an adult that I did not get in my teens and 20s.
Okay. Well, tell me what it was like in your teens and 20s. What was your impression? It was a boring, spot-on impression of astronaut's life?
No. It was like slow motion.
Right.
Like I wanted movies to be like Commando or Predator.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean?
My dad would always, whenever we'd watch Star Wars or some movie in space and an explosion happened,
He'd
be like, there's no fire in space. There's no sound in space. And that's what makes Space Odyssey so boring.
Oh, because it's quiet. That.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but they have some sound design in that movie that is... you can tell that David Lynch was really inspired by that movie.
Yeah,
man. It's really artsy. It's really good. Now I have the time. If you're, you got to watch it in a mood.
Right.
For sure. But yeah, when I was a kid, I was like, hurry up.
Yeah.
Kill an alien. You know what I mean? Kill all the aliens. Where's the xenomorph?
Yeah, I know what that's like.
Yeah. But like, here's two things that I was going to say that I get now as an adult that I didn't get as a teen or a 20-er. That one, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Sure.
I get it now.
Yeah.
And Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh.
Now I can listen to it and be like, this is so rich and it's a rich tapestry.
I haven't revisited that. The last time...
But I used to think that was so boring.
Yeah, and I can understand that. The last time I listened to that, I think I was on shrooms. And we did. We were like, this was like 2 years ago. This was as recent as 2 years ago, and I'm 33. So,
oh my god, 31.
It was
on
like, what do you want to do now? And then it was just kind of a joke. But then you put it on, and you get it, kind of thing. You know, like it worked. It worked.
Did
with
it
the
work?
Trip. I mean, it worked in so much.
Were
as
you
it
looking
wasn't...
at the record sleeve? Like, wow, man.
No, I should have done that. It
what
was weathered, like everyone's copy of Dark Side
so
of the Moon,
cool.
found at a garage sale or something.
That's wicked.
Yeah, but. No, I've never delved deep enough into Floyd to take some philosophical learning from it.
Yeah.
When I listen to music, I just pay attention to the beats, mostly.
Yeah. Well, that's what the best part about Dark Side of the Moon is the whole time you're listening to it, you can hear a guy in the background going like... It's really good.
David Gilmour spent an extra 2 weeks in studio creating that ambiance.
Yeah.
Nothing but a...
He's like, if you listen closely, you can hear me go doop bop a deep bop. Yeah. Oh, I should say, because we've been talking for a few seconds now about psychedelic masterpieces of art.
Yeah, sure.
That
let's dip. Let's take
it. It's Glenn McCauley. That's who my guest is. Yeah, good friend of mine, very funny man, Glenn McCall Center.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of jokes about my name that have been out there.
There's so much
ever
good...
since Home Alone came out, because my name, my last name,
yeah.
if you want to look me up, it's the same as Culkin
his
spells
first name, Glenn Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, there's a lot of variants.
Actually, Glenn Macaulay Culkin sounds like some sort of like park full of grass where Macaulay Culkin was killed.
Yeah, like... A Culkin is just another name for a park.
Is it?
No, I mean, like, it could be, right?
Oh, yeah, Glen.
Well, Glen means of the valley.
Oh, of the valley, right. It's a valley, sorry.
Yeah, but Culk, like, you know, Toronto's got a nice, a lot of nice parks, parkettes, and Culkins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hang a left at the Culkin, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Glen is like a valley. Okay, so Glen Macaulay Culkin is like a big... A valley full of long grass where Macaulay Culkin was killed.
Maybe a Culkin is a park with less than three trees or something.
I honestly feel like a Culkin is a pot that you and I are making a spell in right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a cauldron.
Yeah, it's
oh,
like,
cauldron.
It's a, no, it's a cauldron, but it's a warlock's cauldron, so it's a...
Culkin.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I don't use cauldrons, all right? Don't you see that I am a warlock? Please put your bat's ears and spider's nipples in this Culkin.
Culkins just have a lot more bumper stickers and sports posters plastered to the side of them.
A body glove sticker on the side of my Culkin. Yeah, I'd love that.
That's, yeah. That's...
Man, I'm... we've been trying to get this podcast... You on this podcast for like months and months and forever.
Yeah, we work... Different schedules. I guess that's probably
why. Yeah, you're
why.
A 9-to-5-er.
Yeah.
I'm the other 9-to-5-er. Oh, yeah, baby. Late nights. I'm not, actually.
Yeah, I don't do well with late nights.
You're a 9-to-5-er.
I'm a sleeper.
Yeah. It's good. You get good sleeps.
But we hang out during the day sometimes.
Well,
we
basically,
have...
when I wake up, you're on lunch, and then we go have lunch.
Yeah, and then we have deep podcast-style chats.
Yeah, like we've never put any of this crisp... down on a real analog recording like we are now, like the tapes are rolling, but
history is being made.
History should be made even more, because we've even talked about doing our own podcast.
Should we pitch it real quick?
Should we tell the people listening?
Yeah.
You told me to be
I forget what the last version of it was like. What did we arrive at?
We talk we about all the times you've been haunted by ghosts.
Yeah, that's right,
which is a lot.
Yeah. It's a mixture of fun and fantasy and fact, and it's just us rapping about ghosts, spirits, specters, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but one of the stipulations was we have to get wasted every time we do it.
And we've been wavering on whether or not that's a good idea.
Well, we're getting older. That's the thing. You don't want to get wasted as much anymore, unless it's like a really big occasion.
See, I'm a late bloomer, so I feel like I've been partying almost more now than I did before.
Oh, man.
To a certain extent.
Can you see my face? God, it looks like a potato that was left out in the rain. I've been partying since day one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see the beer bubbles in your eyes.
That's the thing. First time I tried a screwdriver at a grade 7 or 6 or 7 party.
Oh, 6 or 7.
Yeah, we had screwdrivers. That was the first alcoholic beverage we tried. And then the boys and girls would kiss each other on the cheek.
Man, yeah, I was late on all that. Kisses God. And beer.
You know how hard it was for me to count down to be like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Mwah. That's what I did in my head. I did a 10 countdown to kiss a girl on the cheek because I was so freaking scared.
I needed that. I needed a force. Yes. I needed spin the bottle. I needed a game because
so
I wasn't
going to
do it
by myself.
So
what were you doing in grade 6, 7, 8, middle school? What were you doing when you were supposed to be
when I reflect on those years, I just think I was scared. That's the only
really?
Thing. Yeah. Peer pressure and being afraid.
So we're from areas that are close to each other, too. I was from Etobicoke.
Yeah.
And you're from Mississauga.
Mississauga South.
You're a bit more suburban-y, but
yeah,
we were talking about, we were just talking about before we started recording the suburbanness of both our home neighborhoods.
Yeah. Yours had a bit more of an edge just because it's 10 minutes closer to Toronto, I guess.
And also Rob Ford added some edge recently there.
Exactly. There's a bit of a, what do you say, cachet there? But
the school the high school I went to was known for like tons of drugs.
See, ours was known for academic excellence and its top-notch football program.
Ours had a great football team too.
Oh,
but I was not a jock. I was like upset that I was not a jock.
See, here's what people who...
I really wanted to be on the basketball team and I'm a little dude.
Oh, I think I tried out for basketball in maybe grade 9.
But you're
that was the only
me.
Thing I did. That I tried out for.
I really wanted to play.
I'm the typical no activities, no sports type of guy.
But now you're more sports than me.
Well, that's the
thing. And you're trying to get me into tennis more. And I want to play tennis more.
A lot of listeners out there who may know me on a base level may not know that I'm quite a sporto in my own right.
It's true. Glenn is the perfect mix of artsy and fartsy, but the farts come from sports.
Sport forts.
Forts. I forted. Here's the thing. Let's also talk about why other people would know you. Like, you've had a huge long history of sketch because you started with the Polecats.
That's right.
And all those guys are...
They're all doing
crazy stuff. Like, John McCurley is like a really well-known artist here.
Multidisciplinary artist.
Multidisciplinary artist. And disciplinarian when it comes to physique.
Yeah.
He's the most... disciplined guy I know for diet and exercise.
We always say he's Ned Flanders. I don't know who originally coined that. Kudos to them. But he's, you may not know it by looking at him. Then he takes off his shirt.
He rips it off.
And then it's ripped underneath sort of thing. So.
And then Andy is in Skechersons.
Wasn't Skechersons. He does a lot of improv and sketch and comedy now and podcasts too. He's got a lot of those.
We have
Brennan Hollerin, Skechersons, did a lot of TV stuff and that kind of thing. And then a couple others who haven't exactly continued in comedy but are still amazing people.
Yeah. But they're all like a lot of them you can see at the Comedy Bar, which is the best place in the city.
Yeah.
Hanging out. And then you have a hit show for a few years in the city at the Comedy Bar called Weird Al Karaoke.
Yeah, a slightly misleading name because it's not karaoke with Weird Al songs, but it's a show where...
But you do your version of...
Yeah.
Or like the guest does their version of what they think a Weird Al parody would be like.
Exactly.
Basically, they do their own parody of a song.
Yeah, so you did I think you did the inaugural edition when
I
tested it
out. I did Pretty Woman and I did it as Shitty Woman.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was about a woman that... waited for me to get out of an Indian restaurant and then beat me up and stole my food.
Yeah. So it's like a true-to-life tale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that happens too much. But yeah, so that's a huge hit, that show, and you host it looking like Weird Al.
When I first started, I tried to look exactly like him, but now I want to sort of give Weird Glenn his own image. I don't wear a wig anymore, and my hair is being lost, so... I think it gives it a bit of a signature edge with that still that Weird Al look that everyone
enjoys. It's good.
Enjoys.
You look like Weird Al would look like if he wasn't a vegan and he drank alcohol.
Yeah, kind of.
Because I was like blown away when that album came out last year. And I was like, this guy's in his 50s or whatever. And he still looks like a goddamn smooth-skinned mannequin man.
Yeah, we saw him a couple weeks ago. And performed for 2 straight hours.
Yeah. That's amazing. No He's breaks. The James Brown of parody songs. Yeah.
He did a James Brown bit off the at the end.
Did he?
So, yeah. He is the James Brown of parody songs. Oh, my God.
Did they do like this fake cape?
They did the cape, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
It's a positive force.
But yeah, I was wondering, how does he stay, you know, eternal youth or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I did notice that his diet is vegan and no alcohol.
I hate it when that works.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's like when Steve Jobs tried to do that, it didn't work.
Yeah, but you know what? Right. Yeah, but
not that I celebrate that.
No. But. Yeah. You're like, ha, should have had a burger, Steve Jobs. Yeah, but no, I think like Weird Al still has that hair, though.
I know.
You know, like you can look young and youthful and have all this energy and all you want, but if you let your hair hang down like that, it's still corny, too corny.
Yeah, my Weird Al includes a mustache and glasses.
Yeah,
too.
Me too.
As much as I hate to admit that I put that much stock into appearance, it does. It affects me.
I know. And you know what? One of our earlier guests, first guest ever, who's also a good friend of ours, Aaron Eves. You know, he's also a freak for Weird Al.
He was at the same show as me.
Really?
Yeah, he was there.
Have you seen that video of Weird Al performing and Aaron's watching him?
I've seen the still. Yeah. The still, I'm sure, is just as good, if not better, as the video.
The still is pretty amazing. But yeah, so you guys love Weird Al still. But I had a big phase of him in the 80s when I was a little kid. Like, really little. So I don't know how... you guys did grow out of it.
Well, here's the thing.
But you know what? I still love Weird Al.
Right. And as you should.
Like, if I see one of his videos, I love it. But yeah. It's not the same.
Well, here's the problem with...
And I loved UHF to the mega.
Yeah, I think that's been a big influence on me comedically, for sure. I can point to that and some of his, you know, those albums around the Alapalooza days, Off the Deep End, that era.
Yeah.
But the thing about hosting a show like that is that everyone assumes you're a Weird Al super fan.
Yeah.
So it's like for my birthday, my mom just gets me Weird Al stuff. Not that I don't like it, but I don't need it. It's like when I declared in high school that I like Kiss.
Yeah.
And I got all this Kiss stuff for my birthday.
Oh.
Too much.
I think Kiss is way overrated.
Yeah, I mean, upon reflection, sure. But people forget that at the end of the day, they were just a good old rock and roll band.
Also, aren't they all... there's all rumors that they're all gay.
Well, yeah.
But then they're all, like, made all these videos about treating women like pieces of candy.
Their politics are skewed. Like, they...
Yeah.
I've read maybe... two or three of their books. I read Paul Stanley's and Peter Criss's both. I think they both accuse each other of being gay.
Yeah, yeah. Peter Criss's, someone was telling me.
It was probably
it's
me.
It's so funny. Yeah, it was probably you.
He has breast cancer. That's like something out of a Spinal Tap.
Damn.
Movie. That's like something out of a Spinal Tap book.
Yeah, like a boobs freak getting breast cancer.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. I never even thought about it that way.
But in the book, he does say that he, like, they would grab each other's dongs all the time or something?
Oh, well, yeah. They all talk about Ace. Like,
Ace.
Like,
really,
Ace has had sex with a man.
Okay.
Or at least they imply it explicitly in the book.
But he's not out as a gay man.
He's Space Ace, man. He's a weird guy.
Oh,
that's
really?
Why I got that name. People just assumed he was an alien.
Wow, I don't know that much. Yeah, you know a lot about Kiss.
We could do the whole podcast on Kiss.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Would Kiss be a part of my utopia? Probably not.
Oh, I see. So you want to like use your growing up reflections looking back at Kiss as the jump off point to building your utopia.
Well, hey, if we're going to start somewhere, we might as well start there.
Well, do you think we covered all the people need to know to
about
know
me?
You? Yeah.
What else? What are the majors?
Oh, your blog. Let's get that out there.
Yeah,
and your tweets.
Yeah, check out my Glenn GLENN 2Ns, Macaulay Culkin. Not Culkin.
No, there's no Culkin.
GlennMacaulay.com.
Where's the Culkin? It's being used by some weird old warlock right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Glenn Macaulay's blog and Twitter feed is super rich with some of the funniest writing this side of Canada.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Oh, come on.
Thank you.
Everybody thinks
I'm
that
too
way.
Modest. That's
You're
been one of
modest?
My problems. That's why
that's
I'm in your living room and not in the Hollywood Hills.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's why am I here then? I like this living room.
Yeah, it's pretty cozy, actually.
I should also say it's a dreary August evening, eh? It's kind of
it's
cold and rainy outside.
Yeah, exactly, all day. So didn't stop me from getting tacos earlier, though.
Oh, yeah. New place in Kensington, eh?
Are tacos a part of my utopia? Probably not.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, do you have ideas?
Yeah, I got some ideas.
You pre-brought some ideas for your utopia.
Yeah, I pre-thought about it. And yeah. I think one thing that struck me, I think I've always been, you know, I think everyone sort of thinks about their utopia, right? Because they always want to make their own world their yeah. own kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I think about it every day.
Come on.
I think I do.
I guess in some form or the other, and you don't know it, right?
For some reason, I want us to regress to being animals again.
Yeah, you've talked about that a lot.
See?
Yeah. See?
So, what?
No, never mind. I don't think I want to go that far.
Is you don't want to, it'll be hard to eat hamburgers?
Yeah, and it's too much of a Darwinism thing. Yeah. I'm of the mind that I would not survive in a society where the strong survive. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe we can be clever.
Yeah, well...
Like outfox the numbskulls?
That's true.
Okay, well, tell me some of your ideas then. I didn't mean to hijack it with my...
No, well, you're the host. You control the flow, so I'm fine with that.
I'm drinking matcha green tea right now, if you're listening to. I'm trying to get jacked up. Here we go. Okay, go.
Okay, ready? Well, let's start with topography, right? Let's start about the physical...
Man, I never use that word, and I should. I always say the environment.
That's good, too.
No, topography's really good.
I've always kind of been obsessed with the idea of being the only man left on Earth. And not, like, the only man left on Earth. This has nothing to do with topography. Unless I was like, yeah, the mountains are boobs. But, I think I'd love it if I could live on an island.
Mm-hmm.
That had, it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess like a video game, like Mario World, where there's the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely the tropics.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a bit of snow on one corner, but a little mm-hmm. bit of everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A rainforest, you know, an Endor-esque wooded forest. Deciduous.
Yeah.
Is that what those are?
Yeah. Endor is basically like, what's that forest? The Redwood Forest across from
I think it
San
is
Francisco.
The Redwood Forest.
Yeah, they actually film there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, ferns.
Do you have one of those speeders to go through the trees?
I would love a speeder.
Yeah.
Vehicles. I was obsessed with vehicles as a kid.
Yeah.
As a growing boy.
And now you have none.
I've got a bike
that my
father-in-law found in the garbage for me that I still have.
Hey, Glenn, I found a vehicle in the garbage.
I heard you like vehicles.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Thank you.
Flying machines, definitely.
Oh. Like modern ones or?
Let's say all manner.
Because the way you said flying machine, I really pictured some Jules
Verne.
That's
true. I misspoke there. Not by, yeah, who we can.
You're not going to pedal some
gyrocopters
wooden helicopter.
Biplanes are out.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's just make it so, I think this world would have to have some element of magic in it.
Yeah.
If I'm talking about an ideal world,
mm-hmm.
I'm the type of person that wishes magic were in everyday life.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe people can fly, but since this island is the only place in the world, they don't fly to get somewhere. They just fly to hunt birds or just for fun or like to go through an obstacle course.
All kinds of birds.
So it's, yeah, there's a lot of birds.
Mm-hmm.
Birds are definitely one of my favorite animals.
Yeah, but you'll still hunt them. In the sky.
But there'll be, you know, there'll be birds that are suitable for eating, and there'll be birds that are suitable for getting sage advice from, like the eagles in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Well, you wouldn't have to fly to, like, capture chickens or turkeys.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe there's some dumb ones that fly. That
like a partridge?
Yeah, I guess. Game birds.
Yeah, okay. That'd be so funny. I just pictured, like... These old, like, aristocratic Brits from, like, the 20th century or 19th century, like, out with their big, long, muddy boots and, like, like hounds and rifles, and they're trying to shoot these game birds, but then you're just flying by them, grabbing
them out of the air.
They're like, egad, the flying boy stole our birds.
There's definitely a sport.
There's definitely an old Victorian part of this island.
Yeah, maybe just as commentary to like tell us what we're doing wrong in a funny way, but we don't care about it.
You don't have to have it. You can have like the volcano erupt and lava wipes out that part right away.
Yeah, there's got to be a volcano.
Yeah.
There'd definitely be just a sense of adventure.
Oh yeah.
So there'd be magic. There'd be a, you know, there'd be a magic forest. There'd be a, I'm big into fantasy books.
Yeah.
And just imagining that kind of thing.
Have you read all the Tolkien's? You have, actually. I know that.
Well, yeah, all the easy ones.
Didn't you read Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. I consider that an easy one. I mean, like, the Silmarillion, the one, like...
Oh, I didn't...
You know what I mean?
I only read The Hobbit.
What?
Yo.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
but it's still a beautiful
it.
Book. It's delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. I here's a
You know what I didn't like about the movies?
What?
They made the one main dwarf, like, just an unlikable jerk the whole time.
Yeah, they did. They turned it into a buddy comedy with him and... Legolas.
Yeah.
Legolas? I don't know. I'm bad at pronouncing things.
And Legolas isn't in the book. Did I ruin it?
Yeah, you kind of did.
Really?
No, he's in the book. We're kidding.
In The Hobbit?
No, not in The Hobbit.
That's what
he's
I mean.
In The Hobbit movie.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, I'm confused now. He's
No, I confused you. Okay, keep going. You like fantasy worlds.
Yeah.
What other fantasies have you read, just so we can get
I don't know. There's a bunch. If I said A Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones right after that, all the hardcore fantasy fans out there would be like, well, whatever, those are mainstream.
Yeah.
But I've read, I don't know, some Brandon Sanderson
That's
stuff.
Like saying, I like funk, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, exactly. I do like funk, and I do like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, so whatever, man.
Yeah, who cares what people think?
We've talked about the Red Hot Chili Peppers a lot. We don't
well, there's
yet.
An era of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, for sure, from the mid to late 80s to the 91 that I wanted to be them so bad.
Yeah. I met them during the Californication period and got John Frusciante's autograph.
I've never met any of them.
Too bad.
You John Frusciante is the best.
I know.
What happened to him is like really dark.
Yeah, it's a good story. Like a dark story. Not unlike Lord of the Rings. A dark story, but a good story.
He's an uncompromising artist.
I love that. Those are my favorites.
The only time they were cool post Blood Sugar Sex Magik was when he was back with them.
What a refreshing light of sunshine that was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But then, see you later.
Yeah, artistic differences.
But that Stadium Arcadium album, I mean, I don't own any of the later ones.
Nor do I.
But I can enjoy, like, I guess, Californication to a degree.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff from the other one. But Stadium Arcadium was like, I don't know, a CD that would just be like in a mom's minivan or something.
Yeah, it's kind of a joke to me. Like, I remember seeing the posters up when it was out.
Yeah.
It's like...
It's an ugly,
you
ugly...
You made the title rhyme? Why did you do that? What is the Stadium Arcade? I don't know.
Yeah, and it's an ugly image.
Yeah, it's bright.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's like a Mini Pops album cover.
Yeah. Well, weird. We used to have Mini Pops posters up in our kitchen. We get out of cereal boxes.
Really?
Yeah. They have, like, one kitty look like
Damn, that's
Bruce
super
80s. Yeah.
That, like, anytime I think of stuff like that, it makes me feel like, you know what sums up the 80s perfectly for me, for everybody listening? The kitchen from E.T.
Whoa, weird.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, like, when Kathleen and I moved into this apartment, the kitchen has those kind of E.T.-like cupboards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Interesting. I always think... Here's what I think about the E.T. kitchen. And I was actually going to bring this up, oddly enough.
Yeah. what?
It's the lighting. It's really dim in there. And when his older brother is there with his buddies, and they're all playing poker, and they're smoking, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
They're smoking, right? I haven't watched
E.T.
in a while,
like,
but
what,
they swear...
They're like, 17 or something?
Yeah, 15? Exactly. And the mom just let them do it.
You know what? I rewatched E.T. a few years ago. And I love the mom.
She's pretty chill.
Oh, I love her. And then also that night, too, they order pizza.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, how cool is that?
Yeah, you're right.
Everything's cool.
See, I think why I thought of that is because I think I want my utopia ruled by the ultimate older brother.
Really?
Does that make sense?
But aren't you your own, you're the oldest brother
that
in your
true.
Family.
That's true, exactly. But I felt like I was never ready for that responsibility.
Do you feel like a lot of your desires in life are to sort of like find an older brother?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Because the one thing that you and I have in common is we idolize this late 80s phase.
Yeah, we
of
do.
Like California pop culture.
Yep,
like
the look, the
surfing, skateboarding, or good Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah,
yeah, all that, like all that culture that was like just ruling North America from like 88 yeah. to like 90.
And that only older brothers seemed to know about.
Yeah.
They were the gateway into it.
And like all the movies at the time had a cool older brother.
Exactly.
I don't have an older brother either.
Yeah. And do you feel it? Do you feel like your identity is partly formed that you were seeking that?
Yeah. I was like seeking like a cool guy to look up to for sure.
Yeah, me too. I think I still do.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I guess if I hang out with a guy that's taller than me, I hug him more.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to know what he does on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, like, come here. You're cool.
But, yeah, thankfully, like, I had best friends who all had older brothers. I remember, like, them showing me all sorts of stuff, like Sega Genesis and Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, my God. Yeah, see, I'm a bit older than you, so I would have been your older
brother.
Right,
exactly.
Because, but, I was... sort of ahead of the curve. Like, I was a music freak at a super young age. You know, like, I was the first kid to have a Fat Boys cassette.
Oh, I wasn't
not,
him.
That's the thing. Not Beastie Boys. I went, like, I also had Fat Boys, Run DMC, and LL Cool J.
Yeah.
So when everyone was all like, oh, I can't stop listening to License to Ill, I was like, try Crushing by Fat Boys. See what you think about some of the tracks on that. Yeah. So, by the time I was in grade 9, I got my uncle to take me and my friend James to Lollapalooza 93.
Whoa.
I think it was grade 9 or grade 10. And it was grade 9. And then, yeah, I went originally to see Primus.
But
guess who opened?
Rage Against the Machine.
Rage Against
I think you
the
told me about
freaking
this
machine.
Yeah, yeah, and it blew your balls off, right?
And then I brought the cassette back to high school.
Oh.
And people were like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Except they didn't know the word fuck yet. Rage Against the Machine had to teach them.
They were like, what the crap? And I was like, just listen.
You'll see.
Yeah. And then we all burnt the school down. Anyways, why am I talking so much about myself? I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. It's a shared experience.
Yes, we do share that weird, Lost Boys, for example.
Right.
Jason Patrick. Wasn't he the coolest?
Yeah.
But then he found
an older brother in Kiefer Sutherland. Is that what you're getting at?
Oh, my God.
He was Corey Haim's older brother, but he needed something more.
What else? Let's think of all the 80s.
All the older brother movies?
Let's think of the late 80s older brothers.
Maybe you're a bit old for this, but The Wizard starring Bo Bridges. Christian Slater was a good older brother in that.
Wait, The Wizard?
Yeah, the Nintendo movie with Fred Savage.
Christian Slater was in that?
Yeah. Half of that movie is a buddy comedy between Bo Bridges and Christian Slater.
I don't remember that part.
Oh, you should check it out.
I just remember the kid going, California.
Yeah, that kid later starred in Little Big League, a movie about a kid who inherits the Minnesota Twins.
Where is he now?
Don't know.
Shit.
Fred Savage, successful
director,
Hollywood man.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But... Christian Slater's an older brother than that. What else?
Wow. Yeah, no, I saw The Wizard in the freaking theater. Yeah,
I did too.
And I don't think they call it The Wizard anymore, right?
I don't know.
Well, there was like another... Anyways, maybe they do. I don't know.
Older brother movies in the 80s.
There's just older brothers all the time.
Yeah, and just maybe not even older brothers, just cool teenagers. I've told you before that so much of my... image is based on Summer School.
Yeah, Summer School, like
Chainsaw
was
Dave.
Our older brother for sure.
Yeah, definitely an older brother.
Bill and Ted were definitely our older brothers.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting somewhere.
John Candy was kind of like an uncle that we wanted.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Chevy Chase was my dad.
Yeah.
Okay, but now we're getting off the older brother thing. But yeah, me and you both like...
We were
younger and wanted to be Bill and Ted for sure.
I wanted to skateboard. I wanted to surf.
I skateboarded.
I
got good at it.
It was too hard. I have a distinct memory.
Ferris Bueller, I wanted to be my hero.
Yeah, yeah. I related more to Cameron in that movie.
The
scared guy who has the Red Wings jersey. Oh, he likes sports.
Oh, my God. That vintage Porsche.
Oh.
When they take it out. Do you remember that? How well do you remember it?
I remember it very well. It's my wife's favorite movie.
Yeah. Okay. So they take the Porsche out. Then that song plays when you get the big exterior shots of Chicago. It's like boom banana, boom banana, boom banana, boom banana. They're like big city.
Oh, Beat City, yeah,
Beat City,
Beat City, Beat City. Yeah, yeah.
And then they pull into the parking lot, and then the guy.
Yeah, everything's fine. They made it to the city, and then
the parking lot,
the valet. Only, yeah,
he's like, "Do you speak English?" He's like, "What country do you think this is?" You want to hear some insane trivia?
Yeah.
The guy that says, "Oh, what country do you think this is?" And then him and his buddy end up taking the car for a joyride.
Yeah.
He was not only a percussionist and drummer in the band called Conk in the 80s, which was like a groovy lounge
like
lizard.
Conk Shell?
No, K-O-N-K.
Whoa, I guessed it.
Yeah. But he was also the very first drummer for Sonic Youth and plays on their first album.
Oh. What's
yo.
His, what's his name? I just read Kim Gordon's autobiography.
I think it's like Edwin something, maybe.
Yeah, he's in there.
You're a rock biography freakazoid.
I am, I know. I find it interesting.
But he also was in Stranger Than Paradise, Jim Jarmusch's first big movie.
Oh, yeah.
Big budget movie.
You don't say.
Not big budget, but...
That's pretty
good
trivia.
So there you go. Here's some Ferris Bueller's trivs
good.
For everybody listening. But I keep talking, and we got to get back to Glenn's Utopia.
Yeah, we last left off at Lord of the Rings, which
see,
I haven't...
this is what green matcha tea does to you, by the way.
Yeah, it's working.
I told you.
You said it was going to make you crazy.
I told you, baby.
It's working. I like it, though. I like it. The tea is coming.
Tea.
That's the tea.
Mr. Green Matcha Tea. Okay, sorry, go.
Well, last we left off, we're talking
there's
about
magic Lord... everywhere.
Yeah, there's definitely magic everywhere. I always thought of a place like Hogwarts as being a place I'd really love to live.
Wow.
Because there's
did
adventure...
Did you read those books or just the movies?
I did read the books. There's adventure around every corner. There's secret passageways. There's history. I love history.
Do you recommend the books or the movies?
Yeah, sure. Hit the books. The movies are good, though.
Okay.
I don't know.
Didn't like one of the directors of the movies like direct like James Bond or something?
Sam Mendes? Did he direct one? I don't remember.
I like how he's like the go-to director now because he's doing the new one too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Anyways, I keep distracting. Go, go, go.
Yeah, a lot of adventure, a lot of magic. We talked about Lord of the Rings. I don't know if this is tied into a utopia, but I've always loved... Here are the aspects of Lord of the Rings that I dig. You know, in fantasy and even just movies about war, there's a battle. This is, I'm pretty sure this is in Braveheart, too. But when there's a battle and the one side's about to lose and then reinforcements arrive.
Yeah.
I'd love to be a part of one of those battles.
Yeah,
but
you come around the hill from the east.
Yes.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
sun rises and you look to the east
yeah.
on the third day.
Yeah, that's, and you're like, shit.
Yeah, there he is.
I can't go back and watch Braveheart anymore. Mel Gibson's performance is so goddamn corny. And he looks 58.
I never even thought about that.
Go.
Okay.
He's such a ham.
Heritage. That's part of my heritage, man.
Even even watch Lethal Weapon movies. He's such a ham.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, sure.
Are you're upset about what I'm saying about Mel Gibson?
Well, yeah, no, I'm not upset. He's a fine actor. He's a terrible person.
You know who's a ham that I love, though?
No.
Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah, he hams. He slices ham.
Kathleen and I just watched Witches of Eastwick for the first time at a cottage recently.
Never seen that.
It's good.
Okay.
And weird. Okay, so you want to be a part of the flank that comes
yeah,
over the hill at the end to surround them from the other side.
Or I want to be part of the side that's losing and then have the reinforcements arrive. And I'm like, yo, check those guys out.
Oh, then I'm coming from the other side. Like, Glenn!
Yeah. And you've
and
got
just...
food, you've got hams strapped to your back and flagons of wine and stuff.
Do I still kill people or am
oh,
I just
yeah,
coming to
party?
Oh,
yeah, you kill everyone. Like, we rest at that point.
Yeah.
And then we party.
Hey.
And
imagine like watching an old like medieval battle on the field with horses, spears, mm-hmm. shields, helmets, everything, and pizza boxes with fresh hot pizza.
The pizza delivery guys have orange vests so they don't get killed.
That's what I'm talking about.
Modern warfare, bro.
Hey.
But I also, I've always
like
had
they almost cut the head off a pizza delivery man. They're so like, sorry, dude, like both sides.
So many sorry dudes being uttered on that battlefield.
I would love to see a British king sitting on a throne with a huge beard, but eating like a classic slice.
That's a movie.
Yeah.
That is a
king
movie.
King Ralph?
Yeah, I think that is King Ralph. If you think that King Ralph didn't eat a pizza during King Ralph, that's probably not King Ralph. I haven't watched it in a long time, though, so I don't know, but there's got to be an eating scene.
Oh, God. That's like, yeah. I feel bad for John Goodman because they were obviously trying to cast him in that movie for what he looked like more than his acting ability.
Yeah.
Because he's so... He's like a brilliant actor.
Oh, yeah. Incredible.
And he's like, can you play this schlubby idiot? And it's
play
like,
the American slob.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, I can.
Yeah.
But I also am in every single Coen Brothers movie ever.
And I'm sure he's an accomplished stage actor, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
The matcha green tea really hit. So I'm distracting. So
here's another fantasy I have that I don't know if you can weed that.
So this is basically
that
your
in.
Utopia right now is Fantasy Island.
Yeah, kind of is, actually. Yeah. But here's another fantasy I have.
Yeah.
Is that I get to go back in time, go to one of those battles, but I'm the only one with a gun.
That'd be funny.
I love that.
Would you be laughing a lot?
Yeah, I would be laughing a lot.
Me too.
And I'd let them think that they're going to get the better of me just by looking at me, and then I'd pull the gun out.
Yeah,
and
like they do that thing where they hold the point of the sword towards your neck for a long time and talk for too long.
Yeah. Yeah, they're explaining why they're going to kill me and why our side
is
so bad.
I am going to take ultimate pleasure in slicing. And you're like, yeah?
Yeah, and how God has willed this moment, et cetera, et cetera. But not even just a gun, just future technology in general. Like, I'd love to just, sometimes when I'm riding my bike, I start thinking, if I could bring this back to a field in England, just do laps around a farmer, and then he tells his lord, word gets to the king, I'm brought into court, they ask me what this machine is.
Yeah, they think you're a warlock with a Culkin.
With a Culkin, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now you're going back to the future styles.
Yeah.
Remember when he shreds that town in 1955?
I think that's why we all love that movie so much. Don't you wish... Yeah, I don't
that
know.
That was huge.
That's power, man.
A child's eyes seen that?
Oh.
And then all that poo being dumped on Biff?
In every movie, poo gets dumped on Biff.
There's no way Eric Stoltz could have done that.
No way! Yeah, and Marty, they made Marty like a California boy, just like we love.
Yeah.
Like a really cool dude.
Yeah.
But I also love how in that movie, when he gets to the talent show, it's like he's kind of a dweeb too. Like, no one cares about his band. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's not top of the pile when it comes to that.
No.
But I guess
he's still a dreamer.
Yeah. So
California
am I.
Dreamer.
So am I.
Hey, so am I.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got all this magic and battles like... You're showing up on a...
I also love the idea...
So can you time travel then?
I could, but no one else could.
No, that's fine. And are you the lord of your island?
Yeah, but there's an older brother who's kind of the figurehead who influences our culture.
Have you ever seen
him? The ultimate older brother. Yeah, yeah. I talk to him because I kind of... I whisper in his ear. He kind of knows that I'm...
Does an image of his face show up in the volcano or is he a real person?
I think he can decide that himself. He is a real person, but he has the power to sort of impose his older brotherhood on everybody else.
Yeah.
But the perfect older brother is hilarious, but they'll also wrestle you every so often.
Yeah,
they'll remind you that they're in charge. Yeah. They'll tell you about all the coolest stuff. They have the coolest stuff.
Yeah.
So that might we'd be highly influenced by an older brother. But the rest of the island, and this isn't a sexual thing, would be mostly women. And it's not sexual. It's because I get along with them more. When I was a kid, I couldn't talk to girls. That's why I was, late
bloomer
and everything.
Men are very competitive with each other.
Exactly. And I'm really scared of alpha males. I do not mix well with them at all.
Do you think I'm an alpha male?
Well, we get along, so probably not. But I think you probably have the ability to turn it on if you need to, right?
Like how a monkey screams when you get too close to its wife?
Yeah, exactly. Your stage persona, you take control of the room, right? Which is great. That's what you have to do. And maybe that's why I like performing comedy, because it gives me a chance to be an extrovert in a controlled environment. Because I can't do that otherwise. I'm pretty introverted otherwise, right?
I don't know.
It depends.
You know what is the similar between both of us and probably most other people listening is these neuroses that we have about our character traits as we're young, like a teen going through those important times in our life in our early 20s, we still think we're like that all the time. But really, you're kind of like... experienced in a well-adjusted adult, you don't really exude these. Like, for example, like when you and I were at Just for Laughs,
yeah,
and we bumped into each other at some of these parties or whatever in Montreal, you're outgoing. You're meeting people. You're talking to people.
My wife always says that too, because she's she's introverted, and she's like, "Well, you're much better than me." Maybe it's just that
Liv is more shy than you. But if she's in a mellow environment, she'll still
chat it is kind of like me. But I guess maybe I'm more used to it. I can do it.
I'm more extroverted than Kathleen, big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that maybe you know it's like lock and key, lock and
key
cat,
cat.
I don't know.
Glad her name is not Key.
Well, that I don't know.
I don't like stuff like that.
Me neither.
Like, hey, get it?
Do you think that you would stop yourself from falling in love with her if that were the case?
Mm.
Like, are you that sensitive about that kind of
thing? No one can stop themselves from falling in love with someone.
Whoa.
Okay, so this is good. You got an older brother that's like, for example, comes down from the mountain and gives you a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, exactly. if there's trouble on the island, which I don't want, there isn't going to be trouble, maybe from some of the creatures. So he'd be a hunter type person.
So what creatures are on this? Hey, but, sorry, I need to establish something for my own imagination before we continue. Because this island sounds more than magical. It sounds mega magical.
Yeah.
Very nice. But if you cross the waters for in all certain ways to any distance, do you come to the like regular Earth as is? Or is it, what's the rest of the planet like?
It's just water.
So it's just a...
That gives someone, like the island, it's probably...
If the rest of, here's an interesting Zen koan.
Sure.
If the rest of the planet is just water, is the island still an island?
Whoa, that's interesting. That's like a joke I used to do when I'd say that... There was a moat contest, and P.I. won. And no one ever got it.
That's
but it's
so
just
funny.
Like a guy who inherits a castle is like, I got a pretty good moat here with the castle. And he sees an ad on a poster saying, moat contest Thursday. He goes to the contest not realizing that all the major players in moat contests are just islands. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't know that?
Don't you hate it when people don't get a funny, smart joke?
Yeah, but it's probably my fault for wording it poorly.
Well, last night I did a show and I opened up riffing on the movie Prometheus. And everyone was staring at me like
that movie from 3 years ago that everybody's forgot about.
But it's back on Netflix. That's why I feel like everybody's rewatching it now on Netflix. Okay. Well, I was just riffing about how, like, in all these sci-fi movies, I love them, but I hate it when, like, there's always that guy in the middle of the movie that looks at a new creature up close without his mask on, like, hey, look at you little creature. Look how close you are to my open mouth. Of course it's going to go in your eye or your mouth or something.
I would never make that mistake in my utopia. We'd have a team of guys that if unknown creatures were discovered, led by the older brother, would go and examine that. And take care
so
of it.
So do aliens come down and investigate
this
planet?
Maybe that'll keep things interesting in that there's no other land.
It's already so
but aliens are possible.
It's
full
of magic.
Yeah, I like that. And
that'd be funny if there's a pocket of land on your island that's outer space.
Ooh, yeah.
Outer space on an island.
Oh, wow. I like that. Because like, I love outer space.
Unlimited, infinite outer space, but just on an island.
Ooh.
Weird, eh?
And there was
wrap your head around that,
a
Hawking.
A fleet of ships that you could take out and cruise around.
Dude.
That's pretty good.
What's this planet called?
Oh, I don't know. Glens.
Is there even an outer space on the outside of the atmosphere?
Yeah, sure. Let's get as much space as we can. And the water would be, it would look like an ocean, but it wouldn't be salty.
Good Lord.
Because for me, the ocean.
Fresh water.
Ocean.
Oh, my God.
Because I love the ocean.
Can you still call it an ocean if it's fresh water?
Yes, you can. Yep, you sure can.
Oh, right. Of course.
I mean, in this world, you can.
Yeah.
What else? I'm trying to
think. I love this place.
Yeah, we...
Mostly girls. Because they're nice.
Yeah, this is not a sexual thing whatsoever. My wife would be there. She's part of my utopia, 100%.
What's she doing?
In her utopia, there'd be just so much to, like, there'd be a grandiose library. There'd be no internet. There'd be a grandiose library, like, it would be like Hogwarts, but just books.
Mm-hmm.
See,
I don't know the Harry Potter stuff as much.
Well, it's just basically a big old castle.
Yeah.
So that would be the library. There'd be no internet. You'd have to discover things there. All the information you need is there. You just have to find it. But there's a lot of magic there, too. So there's a lot of puzzles and riddles you have to solve.
Okay. That's what she would love.
Well, no. She just liked that she could take out any book anytime because she likes to read. There'd be unlimited movies and TV shows be every movie TV show of all time.
You guys have your own podcast about The Bachelor.
Yeah, we do.
With Andy and Sarah, right?
Yep, Sarah Hillier, Andy Ho.
Yeah.
That's another plug. We forgot to say that off the top. But
I realized that, but that's pretty narrow. I was waiting for the time to be right, and we did.
We did it. Check it out, The Bachelor Pod.
Yeah.
But, okay,
so she can, what books does she like?
We both love relaxing. There'd be hammocks strewn throughout the tropics. Actually, in every...
a hammock for every...
for every topographical zone. Environment, yes.
Is there a tundra there?
No, there's more just like a ski resort.
What about a hoth?
No, that's too harsh.
Yeah.
It would be more like Vail, Colorado.
Do you want to hear one of my all-time favorite Futurama jokes?
Yes.
I think it's from one of the movies they made in between the seasons.
Oh, yeah. Bender's Big Score. Maybe. The Beast of a Thousand Beaks.
I think it might be... I can't remember which one it's from. It might be the last movie, which wasn't that good, but it had a couple still big laughs.
All right, hit me.
So they're like on a Hoth-like planet, and the Planet Express ship is flying through like AT-ATs.
Oh, yeah. That's another dream of mine. That would be on the planet.
But no Hoth?
Hoth, but not as harsh. More skiing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, would you be... like using a rope behind an AT-AT and skiing behind
it?
Yeah,
there'd be like a staging ground where you could launch Star Wars vehicles and play with them.
But yeah, so it's like that Empire Strikes battle, like Planet Express is weaving through all the legs and shooting lasers and stuff. And then lasers hit the ship and it smokes and steams and crash lands and explodes on the ground. And then you see that, and then the camera shifts over, and then you see Farnsworth and all the crew watching the ship, and Farnsworth just goes... We weren't in there.
Oh,
he just
I like
says
that.
The thing.
Yeah. Honesty, man. That's where jokes are.
I know. We weren't in there.
Oh, boy. That's good.
I know. Because that's what your brain thinks when you see them.
Yeah.
They weren't in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Go on.
Where did we leave off?
Fantasy Island. Fantasy What's Island. It called?
I guess I said earlier, I mentioned it, Glenn's.
Oh. Glenn's.
Why not?
Like with an apostrophe?
Yeah.
Glenn's.
Or maybe it's the name of the older brother. Just so it.
What's his name?
Just so I don't have pressure.
Chet?
Zach.
Zach?
Lance.
I don't like Zach, Lance. To be honest.
What's
I mean, I know it's yours,
name?
But.
Chad? No, I don't like that name.
You guys listen at home. You obviously can't see this. But Bernadette just jumped on the couch and literally flopped down onto Glenn like he's a chaise lounge.
Yeah, I kind of pride myself on my pet. Like my petting, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like if an animal,
she's got a smile on her face. The way you were petting her head.
She's a tabby too, which I love.
Yeah,
love tabbies.
Yeah,
grew up with them, so
yeah,
we're on the same page. There'd be a lot of cats around.
Okay, but isn't Liv afraid of cats?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I feel like Liv, if you listen to this, I told everyone.
Maybe there'd be just a petting zoo of sorts. Like the options there if you need it, but they're not wild.
Would there be an ibex there?
An ibex?
Do you know
what those
are?
Like a lynx-like creature, right?
No, it's like a sort of like a mountain goat sort of thingy, like a, but it's got like the longest curled horns you've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Life.
Sure, let's do an ibex. I think let's keep all the creatures in a controlled area led by a very competent game warden.
Yeah.
Who, if you want the option to have a pet, you can't own one at home.
Yeah.
But you can go into this place and enjoy any
every
animal.
Pet.
Any animal.
Is the game warden basically Chris Pratt?
Pratt
from
Jurassic
World?
World? Yeah, yeah.
He was kind of, you know, people shit on that movie, but he had a good job.
He had a dream job.
And he did
the
a great
where
job
it
with
goes
those.
To him and his little cottage with his motorcycle.
Yeah.
I remember thinking there, like, I could live there. Maybe that's my place in the utopia.
Yeah. And he knew the bad guys were bad. Who played the bad guy again? Oh, Vincent
D'Onofrio.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, and other dinosaurs. There were some bad dinos.
They're not bad, though.
Yeah, they were
like,
just
I
that
like
was
how
nature.
In Jurassic World, even like this new dinosaur they created, what's it called?
The something Rex.
Indominus or something?
Indominus Rex, that's it.
I like how even while it's like killing everyone and destroying, they're like, it's confused. It doesn't know, like, because it grew up by itself and it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a nerd rage.
Oh, yeah. Puberty.
Puberty.
That movie's about puberty at the end of the day.
Jurassic World is an analogy for feeling different.
Oh, puberty, man. I remember that. That ties back, just going back to grade 6, 7, and 8.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I did puberty very well. Because I'm a late bloomer.
Your memories, you're afraid of everything.
Yeah, kind of. But I was a late bloomer. I always am. I still am.
Really?
I still bloom late.
But you're one of the guys that got married at a regular age.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? How old were you when you guys got married?
I guess I was 30. It was 2012. Yeah, I was 30.
Yeah.
On the nose.
That's not waiting too long.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I was 35.
Really?
Yeah, man.
I mean,
it was 2 years ago. I'm 37. Peace.
Did we get married in the same year? No, you were 2013, right?
Yeah.
I was 2012.
There you go.
2012 Space Odyssey.
Did you get married on 2012 because you thought it was the end of the world soon?
No, that kind of thing doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me either. Like, oh, God. So embarrassing that people were like, get ready, stock up on water because of the Mayan calendar.
Yeah, a friend of mine at the year 2000, his mom, I won't name that friend, but his mom bought, as she called it, quote, the Cadillac of generators. And there were bags of rice under their stairs leading up to that.
So. I know someone that did that too, and who will remain unnamed.
Whew.
But their whole basement was ready.
Yeah. Basements. There's something I like. I like basements.
There's a huge basement underneath this whole island.
Big basement, yeah. My childhood basement is unfinished, but there's a comfortable couch. There's a TV with every video game system you could possibly ask for, even though I don't have a lot of patience for video games.
Me neither.
I'm a naturally antsy person.
Yeah.
That my island would be designed around that. There'd be a lot of stimuli.
Yeah.
Books, movies, that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
But sports. Even though there's like females all over this island, more than men.
Yeah.
They outnumber the men. Is your relationship with Liv still monogamous?
Good question. I could get in trouble here.
I know.
I still have, if I have sex dreams, I still can't cheat on her in my sex dream. Do you get that? My brain stops me.
Or I've had a dream where I was kissing someone, but this is very, very, very rare. And I do wake up feeling as guilty as shit.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
If the rare time I am allowed, or I do allow myself, I feel guilty as shit. But, yeah. I mean, of course, males have urges. If in my utopia, yeah, I could have sex with anyone, sure.
Yeah.
But Liv would obviously be there, and I'd have sex with her more than anyone else.
Yeah, okay, so relax, Liv.
Yeah.
That's so funny. What else? Food.
What else? Okay,
you said
food.
No tacos,
no, food
which
is
insane.
Big. Yeah, see, I like tacos, but I don't love them.
Yeah, we're getting
them.
Long now, but let's do it, because
okay, we'll just do rapid
you and
fire.
I are food brothers, basically.
Yeah, and I don't consider myself a foodie in that I go out to restaurants and review them on my notebook,
yeah,
but I love food. I grew up, my dad cooked a lot, my mom cooked all the time. I cook a lot now, so there'd be wood burning ovens all over the place. There'd be just, you know, when you go to a park and there's charcoal grills all over and you're like, how do I rent those?
I love that.
And
smell.
You see someone using them and you're like, you wonder how they managed to do it.
Yeah.
To get it all together. Because I think you got to get a permit. But anyway, there'd be grills all over the place. I don't know if there'd necessarily be chefs, but there'd be fields upon fields of fresh produce. I'd have a butcher who handles the farming and everything.
You love fruit, right?
I love fruit. I love fresh tropical fruit.
Yeah, me
mainly.
Too. Strawberries.
I went to Hawaii once.
Pineapple.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't like watermelon, which people are shocked to hear. I consider pineapple just a far superior fruit.
I love pineapple, but I definitely get cravings for watermelon.
I think everyone does. My family, the Macaulays in general.
It's a totally different taste.
Yeah.
You can't compare them.
I guess. See, I think I get the same feeling from pineapple as most people do from watermelon.
No.
See, what? Pardon me?
Because watermelon is almost like a juice.
A tasteless.
It's not even like a melon. It's like a juice, like a sweet juice. Pineapple is a sweet juice, but it's a thick.
It's got tart,
almost
though,
crunch
too.
To it.
I need the tart. Watermelon doesn't have that.
Do you like those candies, Tart and Tinies?
I sure do. I've talked about them a lot recently, actually. Funny this came up.
Really?
Yeah. There were two different versions. There was a dusted version and a candy-coated version. You got to get the dusted version, the little ones, you know?
Yeah.
What I mean? Well, I guess they're both little.
Tart
and
Tinies.
But love those. They give me the zing I need. I need zing in my food.
It's weird, too, because those are such a indelible candy. I feel like they're from the 60s or something.
Can you get them at specialty candy stores? Like,
oh, like,
I wonder.
I just assume they're still in convenience stores.
I don't know if they are.
Probably not.
I still frequent convenience stores. Speaking of which, if I have convenience stores on my island, they're all from the U.S. Because when I travel to the U.S., the most exciting thing is to visit their variety stores.
Yeah.
Because they
go nuts.
Especially when you're a kid and you'd see your American affiliate NBC station advertising all manner of candies that we couldn't get here in Canada.
And like what?
Like, I'd go to a hockey tournament in Buffalo and just, like, even things like Hostess brand cakes, like Snowballs and the cupcakes.
Didn't they go out of business?
Yeah, but you used to not be able to get them in Canada, I don't think. Maybe I was just looking in the wrong spots. But then you go to the States, they're all there.
But they're gross.
Well, yeah, they're gross. They were tasty back
then. They're all right. Yeah, no, they're all right.
I mean, I admittedly, I've fallen out of love with American variety stores now.
But there would be a bunch on this island.
There'd be a good amount of candy.
Yeah. Candy
That's
necklace?
For Liv, too. She's a big candy freak.
Yeah, you've told me that before.
Candy necklaces?
I'm a chip guy. I just tried those butter chicken flavored chips the other day.
What'd you think?
I don't even know if I remembered a flavor.
When I was a kid...
That's what happens when I eat chips now.
Oh, man.
I just go... Like a wood chipper. It could have had a flavor.
Yeah, just a well-engineered factory.
Yeah.
Chips. It's like, you don't see the work. The
Ask
work
a heroin
done.
Addict what the last hit of heroin felt like. He'll be like, huh? That's what I'm like with chips.
I love chips. I was an experimenter as a kid.
Yeah.
Like when I go in a variety store, fries and gravy, I'll try those.
Yeah.
Roast chicken, I'll try those.
Well, so in Canada now, people listening, in the big grocery stores, because they had that Lay's had that flavor contest,
mm-hmm.
they have local... So Ontario made a butter chicken flavored chip. PEI has scallop potatoes.
Mm.
Some other place, I forget, has barbecue... baked beans.
Well, I didn't know that.
Something like that. Yeah, and then there's another one. I think Montreal smoked meat sandwich flavored chips.
Okay.
I just eat them. Doesn't fucking matter the flavor. I guess I had a hint of Indian food on my tongue after I ate them.
There you go. And you seek that.
But when you actually go, oh, this is a weird flavored chip, when you taste one chip, you don't get the flavor. You need to eat a bunch.
Yeah, I guess so.
When I was a kid, they had this thing where you could get WWF wrestler
stickers from Hostess bags, yeah.
And I took all this change from my mom's pocket and went down there and kept trying to get more. And more and more, I wanted to collect them all, but I kept getting Junkyard Dog.
And I got Bobby Heenan a lot, I remember.
Oh, that's Junkyard Dog's better.
Yeah.
But I got I ate like 4 or 5 bags of roasted chicken in a row.
Yeah.
That was that time because it was 80s.
I remember that time, yeah.
Yeah, that was
huge. They were testing new flavors. Hostess, not around anymore. Hostess chips.
Yeah.
So to sum this part of the conversation up, snacks, tons of snacks.
Snack
tons
attack.
Of fresh food. A lot of fishing. There'd be a lot of fish off in my ocean lake to enjoy. Like an abundance.
Oh, I'm way more fish now, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
You've helped me get on that train.
I love the fish train.
Glenn and I go to this restaurant in Toronto all the time called...
The One That Got Away.
The One That Got Away, down on King Street. You gotta go.
They treat you right.
Ooh, baby. So many options from Arctic char to cod
haddock,
to halibut.
Cod.
Haddock.
They didn't have crab cakes last time we went, even though their menu said they did.
Hey. But you can get it on a sandwich either fried or grilled. And you could also get classic fish and chips there that they put a lot of love into.
Yep. Or a salad.
Yeah, instead of fries, which every time we go, I'm like, I'm going to do the salad next time. I fucking never do.
Yeah, we both love fries. There'd be a lot of fries on the
But I've been eating fish all the time. Even like when I go to like an Asian-themed restaurant, I pick like prawns over chicken or
Samesies.
Beef.
There wouldn't be a restaurant on the island, but there'd be a... pretty decent seating area, like an outdoor al fresco dining area where you can maybe you go out during the day, you catch your fish, and then you give them to a resident chef.
Do you catch your own fish?
I would. I like fishing. I haven't done it in a while, but it's a relaxing activity.
Wait, do you get ocean fish in this lake?
No, it's ocean fish and lake fish. Hey, this is my utopia.
Yeah,
we're going all
matter.
Out.
They don't need the salt.
All the best tasting fish in the world.
Do you think the salt in the ocean preserves the fish that we eat?
I can't tell you.
All right, we'll go online and look it up.
Yeah.
So I like that everyone can show up to this world and you go, hi, welcome to Glenn's. You will experience lots of magic and snacks.
There's adventure to be had, definitely. Yeah, snacks. There's a lot of opportunities to rest.
Here's something you left out, but I already know will be there.
Oh, okay.
Baseball diamonds?
Yes.
Tennis courts?
Yep.
Hockey rinks?
Yep.
What else?
In terms of sports, dartboards, pool tables.
I like how in terms of sports, darts.
I got to think darts.
It's, yeah.
It's a simple game, so anyone on the island will be able to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that pretty much does it. And just a general field for anything. A lot of fields.
Yeah,
fields surrounded by forest. I love that.
You know what I played with Brian Barlow last time I was in L.A.?
What?
Frisbee golf.
Oh, that's a
fun
game.
But it's not called frisbee golf. It's called something else now.
Disc golf?
Disc golf.
Yeah, they don't call it frisbees because frisbee is a brand name.
Oh, right.
I think.
And also, I think disc golfers think frisbees are gauche.
Yeah, they don't want to admit it. That's dumb.
But Brian's good at it. I was only okay.
I'm not that good at it because I don't have power in my arms.
But you don't need power. You need accuracy.
Well, in those longer holes, those par fives.
You can't do that.
I don't know. I'm weak.
Yeah, there were some holes where you couldn't even see the end game yet. That was weird.
Those are the ones I'm bad at.
Yeah, of course.
But there'd just be a lot of opportunity for activity, but you would never be forced to do any of it.
Do you play golf?
I can play golf. There'd be a golf course, yeah.
I really want to learn how to play
golf. A really good golf course.
I'm bad at golf.
Me too.
Okay.
What else? Nah, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't want to end by being like, we're bad at golf.
The only other... frown. The golf course would change, too, all the time.
Yeah.
I remember there was this episode of Super Dave where he got his own stock car track.
Oh, yeah?
He's driving around it, and then he makes this joke how he's like, he goes over a hill, he's like... Now, this is like Super Dave's mystery hill. Every time I go over it, they always change the track. And then he goes over, he's like, oh, left turn. And then, obviously, that's just, David's always like that.
It's always like that.
Horrible job at explaining that, but that's part of me being me.
That guy
people
is
tell
brilliant,
me that.
Man.
Oh, I know.
He should have been in more and more and more stuff.
I have.
Because even decades later, when he showed up on Curb, he was amazing.
He was one of the funniest parts of it.
I saw him on Jerry Seinfeld's thing, too, the getting coffee with me in my fancy car. I don't like that show.
Right.
But Bob Einstein, is his episode, he kills it.
I gotta watch. Was that in the recent season? The last one?
I don't know.
I gotta watch that
one. Just,
it's on Crackle. Free to stream on Crackle.
I don't know.
I had a couple
of... Him and Larry David were amazing on it.
I had a couple other things...
Okay.
I really reached deep into my childhood to think about what I wanted then compared to now, and it's not that much different.
You're a guy that values memories from your childhood.
I do, and a lot of them are leaving me now because you just get older. You get replaced by fresher memories, right?
People listening, as Glenn says that, he's just shook a tall can of Molson Canadian. a few of them are leaving me now, too, and he shakes the beer. Like,
oh, boy.
I think there's a correlation. No, but yeah, no, it's true.
I have a distinct memory of being in Sheridan Mall in Mississauga, and me and my dad used to just go to malls to walk around and kill time. And I remember getting a clearly Canadian drink from Second Cup or something. Like, remember that drink?
Oh, yeah.
It came in a clear bottle.
Like, there'd be raspberry flavor?
Yeah, it was fruit flavored, really nice bottle, really crisp taste.
Yeah.
I remember drinking one and be like, man, if I ever get rich, I'm going to just have a fridge full of these. You know what I mean? So just for childhood's sake, there's going to be a fridge full of clearly Canadians.
They're like flavored water.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or they sparkled too, right?
Yeah, they sparkled.
Were they?
It's some effervescence.
Wow, that's such a 90s thing.
I know. But I have a big memory of seeing like, if I ever get rich, it's going to be me. Clearly Canadian all the time. And the other thing I remember...
You're like, what do you want? Blackberry? Raspberry?
Blackberry was my thing, I think. That might have been the one that really turned me into a lifelong love affair.
Well, where are they now? Do they still make them?
I don't think they make them, no.
No, now they have vitamin water, which is sort of like the same thing.
That Italian stuff, like Pellegrino, the flavored ones, you can get it. You know
I mean? But they're way more hardcore than the Clearly Canadians.
Yeah, exactly. They're not Canadian either.
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, if you get rich now, well, in your utopia, you'll just have them.
Yeah, in my utopia, I'll just have them. The other one, I remember watching the Ninja Turtles movie for the first time, and Shredder's Lair, where he let all those kids do whatever they want. And this is tied into skateboarding, too, because there was like a skateboard track, and they
were
smoking.
Me, I know.
And just, I remember being fascinated with smoking and being like, if I just had a carton of smokes, man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though I didn't know what smoking was and how.
Oh, you want to hear some sick trivia about that?
About the factory that Shredder owned?
Yeah.
Yep.
Where the kids ran wild?
Yeah.
Guess who one of the main punks was?
Oh, Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
Okay, I knew that.
Sweet, eh?
Yeah, good trivia.
He's a good actor.
But it was like, it was all the elements at that time that I loved. like skateboarding, arcade machines.
Yeah.
Not necessarily smoking itself, but the option.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It was there if I wanted
to be
bad.
That,
yeah.
When you were a kid and you would smoke, you wouldn't be addicted. That's the funny part, too.
Yeah, you're right.
You'd be like, I'm just smoking 'cause.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I smoked a lot when I was a teenager and early 20s.
Oof.
Yeah, it's so stupid because at the time I was like, yeah, I smoke a pack a day.
Oof.
But now when I think back, I was like, there was literally no reason except for, well, I got addicted later.
Yeah.
But earlier, I was like, there's literally no reason for me to smoke except for being self-conscious about being cool.
Yeah.
And then it totally wasn't cool ever.
I think it's also just a thing.
Oh, and as a kid, you'd always be in denial, too. You're like, no, I'm not doing it because it's cool. I'm doing it because I like it.
Yeah, I love this stuff.
But you want it to be cool.
Yeah. Let's admit. I think it was something to do when you're bored, too.
Yeah.
It's like now we have cell phones to keep our hands busy. But back,
if you lit a cigarette, okay, and you were 16.
Yeah.
And then a pretty girl that you had a crush on was smoking, too. And she goes, you smoke? That was like...
Yeah.
Your world.
Yeah, that's
You're
true.
Like, yes, I do.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember going, so I was smoking. This party memory just popped in my head. But I went to a party when I was in grade 9 or 10, and it was people 2 years older than me.
Yeah.
And I was drinking. Someone got us beers. We weren't 19 yet.
Yeah.
We were out by the pool, all these older kids around having a good time. Maybe someone came up and was like, oh, like, you're here? Cool. Like, that kind of thing.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
The person, the girl whose house it was, who was 2 years older, walked in on me when I was taking a dump in her bathroom. She's like, well, fantasy over.
Wait, is she the one that said you're here?
No, I don't think so.
That
but
was
like
another girl?
Yeah, I don't even know if that actually happened. But, you know, it, like, they saw me drinking. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm in now. Now if I go to a party, it's not... I'm an accepted member.
When she opened
member.
The door, did you go,
eh. Yeah, probably. I don't remember what. I probably just like, somebody's in here. You know what I mean?
The somebody's in here is like literally the worst thing that can happen.
Oh, I know. We didn't get into it, but so many of my fears over the years have been surrounded like by bathrooms.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of, ugh.
Have
God.
You? This sounds corny, but have you heard my bathroom bit?
I don't think I have.
Oh, my God. It's a hit.
Or maybe I
do it a lot.
Just give me the gist.
Well, I talk about the politics of it, like being at a house
party. I know that one. Yeah, I like that one.
And then also I was in a coffee shop years ago
yes.
and someone walked in on me because I did lock the door, but I guess it was broken. And what ensues is embarrassing.
Yeah. I
But it's a nightmare.
I had a brief, this wasn't a stand-up joke as much as it was just something I'd mention on stage, but my biggest fear as a kid was being somewhere where I couldn't, where I didn't know where the bathrooms were.
That's still my problem.
So the fear of not only just if there weren't any, that's horrible, but just trying to find them. You know what I mean?
This summer, Kathleen and I were in Winnipeg, and we went for a walk down to the Forks, which is where these Assiniboine and the Red River meet.
Oh, okay.
And she's like, hey, do you want to take this historical boat tour? And I was just like... What if I have to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, that's every boat I've ever been on. The first thing I do is find the bathroom.
There's no bathroom on a mini little tour boat, though.
Oh, man.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Ugh.
That's me all the time. Like
stress.
Basically, if I'm in a car and I'm not driving the car and then it hits standstill traffic on a highway, I have to take my clothes off. My body like just panics.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's,
yeah.
Why is that? Why does that? I mean,
it's psychological.
Luckily, I'm confident enough now that I know I won't shit my pants or piss my pants unless I'm sick. Maybe piss. Piss gets bad. It gets worse than poo. Right? Am
well,
I wrong about that?
Which
or
water
are,
you drink.
Or our bodies different? But I think I'm most likely to piss my pants now than poo my pants, but I guess that's probably obvious. I might just be saying a universal truth here.
Well, I do find this, and this is bad, after a night of drinking, if which I'm trying to cut out.
Right.
We've already, you and I already mentioned that.
Yeah.
That's why I had the matcha green tea. But if anyone's listening this long, I love it. It's so stupid. But like if I'm walking home from like late night from a bar.
Yeah.
And by the time I get home and I have to go so bad.
Yeah.
Because you can't go outside anymore in Toronto because every single dark alleyway and park is well lit.
Oh, that's
for
true.
For safety's purposes.
Yeah.
Which is good, but
safety over piss every time. So you yeah. decided that.
You can't pee now because it's like 12 in the afternoon out there. But yeah, so this is the part I hate. When you have to go so bad, you get home, and your body knows it's near the toilet.
Oh,
so yeah. It almost starts giving up.
Oh, yeah.
You have to close the door. You have to put your keys in your pocket. You have to take your shoes off.
Yeah.
You probably have your earphones in from listening to your music.
Oh.
So there's all these like, oh, you just want to like take all your clothes yeah. off and go to the toilet.
I start the process as soon as I can. So if I'm at the bottom of the stairs, my belt's going off. My jacket is unzipped.
What about you? Yeah, earphones flying, phone falls oh, yeah. on the ground.
Yeah.
I wear my shoes, I bang into things.
I know someone who had to go so bad once, they were driving home, and then when they got home, whoever was in their, like their mom was in the bathroom, so they're like, wait a minute, no big deal, I'm at home. So she just pissed her pants at home, because she's at home,
it's
so it doesn't
a girl.
Matter.
Okay, so that helps the selection yeah, a little bit.
I don't, even my friends probably don't know who I'm talking about, thank goodness.
But that's so funny.
But that has actually given me comfort.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to piss my pants.
Yeah.
Why don't you just go in the backyard and piss on a bush?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, wait,
girls
a girl,
are different.
Yeah.
But that kind of gives me comfort knowing that at least if I'm within a block of my house, I'll just piss my pants.
There were a few times where I don't know what my goddamn roommate was doing. Like, this is years and years ago. In my 20s, I lived with two roommates that I didn't know, but we all got along fine.
Yeah.
And for 4 years. And then, but sometimes they'd be, and I do drink a ton of green tea and water. Right. And so I'd be dying. And I'd be waiting for them for like 20 minutes, dying. And then it'd be like, you know what? I pee in a water bottle. And then when they, and it's so embarrassing and you feel like a goddamn fool. But then when they finally leave the bathroom, I'd peek my head out into the hallway, look both ways, listen to see if anyone's in the kitchen. No one's there. And then I run to the bathroom, pour the goddamn bottle in the toilet, oof, flush the toilet, and then get that bottle out of my house.
Oh, man. What a process.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
Going to the bathroom is serious.
I know it is. I know. It's and not
toilets all over your island.
Not yeah.
We even like, this is a long episode now. We even forgot what we were talking about.
I actually did want to add, I did think about this before, but there'd be a lot of really good bathrooms. It'd be a spa-like experience all over the place.
Mm.
You'd never know. You'd never bath? Not have a place. Yeah, there'd be everything.
Rocks
be every,
on your eyes?
Every spa experience
they
you could
think of.
They put
rocks on your eyes at a spa?
Probably. Hot stone massage? Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Please put these hot stones on
all,
your eyes.
All the modern relaxation techniques would be part of it. Because, like
it.
I mentioned earlier,
like
pretty,
what else?
Well, I don't know. There'd be a lot of water features.
You see that thing where they put acupuncture in your joints and then light them like incense? What the hell is that?
Yeah, I guess if we
they're
had
trying
somebody,
to melt us into butter.
If we had somebody there that could really confirm that that works, then I'd be into it. The warlock and his Culkin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this piss talk. I gotta go to the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we gotta wrap it up anyway.
Okay, let's wrap it up. So,
but that was really good.
I hope
people
can relate.
So it's an island on a planet full of water, fresh water,
surrounded by water.
It's called glens. Every kind of environment is there except for a tundra. But don't worry, there's a mosquito.
Nothing rough. Nothing too rough. And if it is
enjoyable,
maybe, if there's a desert section, it's like it's easy to get out of the desert.
There's hammocks all over.
A lot of hammocks. A lot of beds. A lot of water features, spas, bathrooms. swings,
an older brother that
lines,
is the kind lord
who's more of a figurehead because I technically rule, but he
right.
takes care of the heavy lifting.
Right.
My family's there, definitely. We didn't touch on that, but they're
oh,
there for
sorry.
Sure.
Fresh fishing.
Liv is there, fresh fish, fresh meat, mm-hmm. A petting zoo with every animal imaginable.
Yeah.
Everyone can fly.
There's tons of sports areas.
Lots of sports areas. There's adventure around every corner. There's a lot of secret passageways,
magic,
maybe to even other worlds. So if you get tired of it, you can go if you want. But
there's a part of the island that's just
it.
Infinite space.
There is a part that's just
and there's
infinite
ships
space.
That you can fly through.
A lot of vehicles. There's dirt bikes. There's hoverboards. There's speeders. That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. If you want to go invisible, you can do that, but there are rules.
There's a part of the world that's like always like a medieval battle.
Yeah, there's a you can play battles if you want.
Yeah.
There's a lot of caves you can just go hide. There's a lot of space for you to do your own thing too. Yeah. That's important.
You have a lot of clearly Canadians.
A lot of clearly Canadians. There's a warehouse run by Shredder where you can do anything you want.
Oh, Shredder's still there?
Yeah, might as well. But he doesn't do anything, really.
He was kind of dumb in that movie.
Yeah, he was kind of dumb. He like, didn't do much. Did he even do karate in that movie?
Nah, he was... It really made me mad that Bebop and Rocksteady weren't in that
movie.
Yeah,
what a mistake. I remember learning that it was Tokai and Rezar, the creatures they ended up using in number two. And just being utterly confused.
Yeah, because were they ever from any comics?
Not that I know of. I might be wrong about that, but what a weird choice.
Anyways, didn't want to digress it too hard at the very wrap up. Yeah. What about music?
Oh, music. Good question. There's a big setup. There's a lot of like band rooms and studio space mm-hmm. where everything is set up and ready to go, so you don't have to worry about it. Like if I want to go record a track, I got a guy there who will do all the hard stuff, where I'll just have to play the instruments. And there's a lot of teachers there, too. So if you want to learn guitar, you go ahead and learn it.
Oh, I love that.
That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
A lot of movie theaters. There's, good sound systems with every song in the world. So you could just sort of pick it. But there's no public.
Oh,
like,
my God. Sorry,
it's not like
that.
I could go and be like, hey, Island, like we're listening to Kill 'Em All today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone's got headphones. It's a personal experience.
Nice. Damn, speaking of which, can you hear my neighbors blasting that tune right now?
Is that upstairs or downstairs or next
to us? Let me just
listen.
I think it's upstairs. There's two girls hanging out up there. They're getting wild.
I ran into them on the way in here, and they told me, I asked, what's it like having these guys as neighbors, you and Kathleen? And they're like, well, they're quiet. We don't really know them very well.
Yeah, we like it that way.
Yeah, that's what my neighbors want.
They're loud.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That. One last thing about your island, mostly females, because they're nicer to you than men.
Yeah, and I think I just, post-pubescent Glenn, just, once I learned how to talk to girls, I don't have to worry about courting them.
Right.
I just like talking to them more.
Yeah.
But that ties into me being scared of alpha males. So maybe there are no alpha males, and there are just a lot of versions of me.
Cool dudes.
A lot of cool dudes.
Yeah.
Open-minded, artistic types who dig my stuff.
I don't know.
Glenn's. Yeah, I think that's pretty
maybe the island's called Glenn's because all the men are Glenn's.
Yeah. Hey, man. One of the reasons I got married to the woman I got married to because she's a lot like me.
Is that true?
Yeah. It's like that episode of Seinfeld where he meets Janine Garofalo. Of course, it falls apart in the end in that show, but I mean, we're talking about Jerry here, not Glenn. Right?
Yeah, this isn't Jerry. It's Glenn.
He's mean.
Okay, cool. Did he have a lot of fun?
I had a lot of fun.
You have another Weird Al coming up, right?
Yeah, we got one. Well, I don't know when this is going to come out, but it's the second Friday of every month, so there's one August 14th.
This is here in Toronto at the Comedy Bar, and
10
it's
PM.
Huge.
Yeah, it's a fun
it's
show.
It's always rammed with people, and the comedians you get on always do an amazing job.
Perfectly good mix of silly and...
What did I see Steph Callender do? We got to get her on this show.
God, yeah. She's done so many good ones.
Yeah, but all the comedians that you get on do an amazing job. They give it their all.
Yeah.
I got to get back on it.
You sure do.
So, that was fun.
Yeah, that was great. Dream come true.
I might buy some cheesies and watch the Harry Potter movies now.
Yeah, experience the adventure. There's some magic around every corner in Hogwarts.
Damn, say that again. Let's end it with that. This is Glenn McCauley.
Find your adventure. There's magic around every corner.
Ooh, all right. That was Glenn McCauley again. Glenn, thanks so much for coming on to Utopia to Me with me, Chris Locke, your friend. As you guys have listened, you already realized that we are just good friends hanging out, and it was so much fun having you. Guys, please check out his blog, glennmccauley.com, exactly his name.com. It's so funny. His writing is really brilliant, and same with his tweets. It's same thing, at Glenn McCauley. And follow those tweets and laugh and then retweet them. And that's how it grows. That's how the world grows. But thanks again, Glenn, for coming on. Guys, I'm going to wrap it up because I usually like to talk nonsense for a very long time because I get distracted. And you know what? Actually, I feel like that's already happened. But in between doing this podcast and doing the intros, I had to vacuum the house because I found out that Bernadette and Wolfman, my cats, have fleas, and so now I'm covered in sweat because it's hot out. and my house is hot. We don't have central air. See, these are little nuggets you get to learn if you listen to the whole podcast and you get right to the end. Oh, do you like Chris Locke's Utopia to Me podcast? Man, episode 45 has a little secret nugget at the end where you realize that his house doesn't have good working central air. Yeah, that nugget that I just gave you is basically like the hidden track, Nameless and Friendless or whatever, at the end of Nirvana's Nevermind. So isn't that cool? When I say this little nugget of information live on stage, you'll be like, oh, I heard that buried at the end of episode 45. There you go. I said I was going to wrap it up, and I still took a long time. Follow me at Chris Locke Fun. Follow the podcast at Utopia to Me and tell everyone about it. We keep getting more and more fans and more listeners, and people contacted me, and I love you, and I love it. Thanks so much for listening, and enjoy your lives out there. Go high-five the sun and smile at a tree. Enjoy the planet. Thank you. We'll be right back.